Right, so it's Pesachim Dachbet Amud Aleph, right from the beginning, not too difficult to find. Or Larbasar, right on the front page. Or Larbasar. Now, already this is a difficult phrase to understand exactly what it's supposed to mean. I see we've got Simon's joined us, Shai has joined us. Good evening, welcome. Lovely to have you with us. Just started. Or Larbasar. So what does this phrase Or Larbasar mean? We're going to discover as we go through the Gemara, but we won't get that far this evening. But Or Larbasar means on the night of the 14th of Nisan, what we would call B'dikat Chametz night. On the night of the 14th of Nisan, Bodkin et HaChametz L'Or HaNer, we do B'dikat Chametz by the light of the Ner. So there's a lot of discussion in the Achronim whether or not it really needs to be a Ner, or whether it can be a flashlight. You can use an electric light. Rav Ovadia Yosef comes to the conclusion that one can. Some people like to be very traditional and still use a candle, but it's certainly easier using an electric flashlight. Kol makom she'in machnisim bo chametz, ein tzarich bedika. Now, anywhere where you don't take chametz, you don't need to do bedika chametz. Question is, what do we mean by a place that you don't take in chametz? Does it mean that it's a place where you never take in chametz, or does it mean that it's a place that you don't regularly take in chametz? You don't expect to be taking in chametz there. So that's a point of a little bit of discussion amongst the Achronim. Uvameh amru beit shurot b'marteif. So why did they say that you need to check two rows of barrels in the cellar, in the wine cellar? Because that's makom shemachnisim bo chametz. That's a place where you do take chametz. Why might you take chametz into the cellar? So if we look at Rashi says, third wide line in the Rashis, shtei shirot shel chaviot asurot b'marteif shel yayin. You've got two rows of barrels arranged in your cellar, or in your wine cellar. Tzarech livdok beinahem. You have to check them. Seeing as we said, anywhere where you don't take chametz, ein tzarich livdok, that you don't need to check there. Lama hutrachula bodkan. So now our question is: so why do you need to check these areas? And the answer is, Mufarish lo amru ela b'martef shemachnisim bo chametz. We're obviously talking about a martef, a cellar where you do take in chametz. To go martef shemistapek mimenu yain l'shulchano. So it's a cellar that you use, and you get you bring up wine to the table from that cellar, as opposed to a cellar which perhaps is used for storage purposes for trade. If you were a wine trader, so you'd have a cellar where you've got many barrels of wine, but you don't take wine from those barrels and bring it straight to the dinner table. You take the barrels and bring them into your shop. But here we're talking about the cellar that's underneath your house, and you go into the cellar to bring up a tankard of wine or something like that. And we're worried, parmim shashamash omed limzog yayin. Sometimes the waiter is pouring wine at the table. Upito biado, and he's holding a sandwich or a piece of bread in his hand. Ukshayayin kale nichnas lemartef lehaivi yayin. And when the wine runs out at the table, so he'll nip downstairs and get more wine, and while he's shifting the barrels downstairs, he'll put down his sandwich and he'll forget about it, and he'll leave it there. So that's what we're talking about, the why you do have to check two shurot. So in terms of this makom she machnisim bo chametz, makom she'ein machnisim bo chametz, here it's clear from this Rashi that it doesn't need to be a place that you regularly take chametz into. It can be a place that you occasionally take chametz into. You know, this waiter, he doesn't go down every meal with a sandwich in his hand to bring up wine. It's upamim. Sometimes that it happens that he didn't bring up enough wine at the beginning of the meal, so he's got to pop down. It's something which happens occasionally. Nevertheless, you still seem to need to do bedikat chametz. So in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, in Siman Taf Lamed Gimel, so he says, makes a difference between where you've got a chiyuv d'oraita and a chiyuv d'rabanan. So he says you've got a chiyuv d'oraita to check places where you regularly take chametz, and then a chiyuv d'rabanan to check places where you might occasionally take chametz. So, you know, the dining room is a place where you regularly take chametz. You always have chametz in there, so there's a chiyuv d'oraita to check there. Whereas the bedrooms, that are places perhaps that you only occasionally take chametz. You want to take a biscuit to bed with you or something like that, but that's not on a regular basis. So then, mid'oraita you don't need to check. That's only a chiyuv mid'rabanan. It's a point of discussion in the Achronim, though, about places that you really, you know, you don't take chametz, or how strict does it have to be that you don't take chametz? You know, it might be that, you know, let's say you never take chametz into the bedrooms, but you knew at Hanukkah time somebody was ill, so you took chametz into the bedroom. They were lying in bed ill, but they couldn't manage without a sufganiya. So you took them a donut in bed, but you know, they came out of, they recovered the week later, you cleaned the bedroom, you know there's no chametz there, and from Rosh Chodesh Tevet through till Erev Pesach, you know there's no chametz gone in there. So whether or not that would need bedikat chametz, or has it got a chazaka that you don't take chametz into there? And then you've got the question much nearer Pesach, you know, you've done your Pesach, cleaned a few rooms, you know, after Purim. The week after Purim. So now, for 3 weeks, I haven't taken food into my study. Do I need to do bedikat chametz there or not? So that's a point for discussion, perhaps in a future shiur. In actual fact, for many years I've wanted to give shiurim from Sukkot to Pesach on Hilchot Pesach. There's so much to do in Hilchot Pesach, and I've wanted to give, you know, 6 months of shiurim in Hilchot Pesach. So this year it works out perfectly as far as that's concerned. So in any event, how are we going to understand these shtei shurot? So these shtei shurot are a place where you take in chametz. Beit Shammai omrim beit shurot al pnei kol hamartef. Beit Shammai say it's two shurot, two rows across the entire across the entire cellar. Uveit Hillel omrim shtei shurot hachitzonot shahein ha'elyonot. Beit Hillel say it's the two outer rows, which are the uppermost ones. So in actual fact, there is a machloket. I didn't bring this in any of the in any of the Dapei Makorot, but there is a machloket how to understand these shtei shurot, these two rows, you know, where Beit Shammai says that it's al pnei kol hamartef, etc. And Beit Hillel says that it's just the uppermost ones. The Bar Tanura says shtei shurot shel chaviot hast al pnei kol hamartef. There he says, Shtei shurot shamru beit shamai hem shura chitzona min haaretz hashmei korah, the chozer bodei kechaviot ha'elyonat al pnei orkov rochbo shel martef. Nimtzu shtei shurot kumin gam yevanit. So according to Beit Shammai, or according to the Bar Tanura, where Beit Shammai says, shtei shurot al pnei kol hamartef, if you imagine you've got a, let's say it's 10, it's 10 rows deep and it's 10 rows high. Okay, so you've got 10 rows of 100 barrels. It's 10 rows, 10 barrels across, 10 barrels deep, 10 barrels high. So according to the Barat Hanura's understanding of Beit Shammai, we mean the face of barrel, the side of barrels which is facing you, and then the uppermost row of barrels as well, going right to the end of the Martef there. Because the Shamash could have taken wine out from any of those places, as he might have clambered on top and taken a barrel out from somewhere on top. It wouldn't be somewhere in the middle, you know, of the whole stack. Whereas other Rishonim say no, Shnei Shurot al Pnei Achitzonot Pnei Kol Hamartef means the row that's closest to you, the whole face of the cellar. And the next row in the whole face of the cellar there, whereas the Shtei Shurot Chitzonot, which Beit Hillel is talking about, is the top row. That's the top 10 barrels and the 10 barrels underneath. So there's a big nafkamina, you know, between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, but also nafkaminas in terms of how many rows of barrels one needs to check. So we'll just start on the Gemara, then we'll come back to Rashi and Tosfot and Rishonim, then we'll continue in the Gemara. So my Or, okay, the Gemara asks, what's this Or Lar Basar? We started off by talking about Or Lar Basar, but what does this term Or Lar Basar mean? So the Gemara says, it's a Machloket. Rav Huna Amar Naghei. Rav Huna says, it's when it's getting light, when it's shining. For Rav Yehuda Amar Leile, and Rav Yehuda says it's night time. Okay, so we've got a machloket when Bedikat Chametz is supposed to be. We understand from the Mishnah that it's supposed to be Orl Arba'asar, but does that mean at the night of the 14th or the morning of the 14th? Now, Kasal Kedatach Demanda Amar Nagei Nagei Mamash. And we presume at this point, at least, that the one who says it means when it's light, that means when it's mamash light, i.e. in the morning, manda amar leile, and the one who says it's nighttime means leile mamash. It means when it's properly night, when it's properly dark at night. And then we're going to the whole of the rest of the daf deals with various proof texts here and there, trying to support the contention that or is a reference to night or is a reference to the day. In any event, let's look at Rashi and Tosfot to try and understand why we have to do this Bedikat Chametz. Right, what is the purpose of this Bedikat Chametz? So if we look in Rashi, second line in the Rashi, Bodkin. So the Mishnah said, Olar basar bodkin et hachametz. Why? Shelo yavor alav, bevalye ra'eh, ubevalye matzeh. So that one shouldn't transgress the prohibitions of balye ra'eh ubalye matzeh. Balye ra'eh ubalye matzeh essentially means there's a pasuk in the Torah which says you mustn't own any chametz on Pesach. Not only are you not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach, but you're also not allowed to own any chametz on Pesach. So I have to do bedikat chametz to make sure that I don't transgress that prohibition of balye ra'eh ubalye matzeh. So it seems from this Rashi, and so this is certainly the way that many of the other Rishonim and the Achronim understand Rashi, is that Rashi is indicating that we've got a mitzvah, possibly a mitzvah d'oraita, that's of Bedikat Chametz, to make sure that we don't transgress the prohibition of Balye Ra'eh Balye Matzeh. Or that at least the mitzvah of Bedikat Chametz is a function of the Isur in the Torah of Balye Ra'eh Balye Matzeh. The way that I make sure that I don't transgress that mitzvah is by doing Bedikat Chametz, and as a result of my Bedikat Chametz, obviously getting rid of any chametz that I might have or might find. Great. Let's look at Tosfot now. So Tosfot says, quotes Rashi, Perisha kuntra shelola vorala pavalye rao valye matze, v'kashel ri. He says this is problematic according to the ri. Why? Kevan de tzarich bitul, because Bedikat Chametz isn't the only thing I have to do. There's also bitul chametz. I have to annul my chametz. I have to make a declaration that none of this chametz is mine, that it's all hefka ka'afra da'ara, etc., etc. Kedama b'gemara, as the Gemara says, ha'bodek tzarech sheyivatel. Even if a person does bedikat chametz, they still have to do bitul chametz. They still have to make a declaration nullifying any chametz that they've owned. So therefore, bedikat chametz by itself isn't going to be overly helpful. Why do I have to do bedikat chametz? I've got to go and do bitul chametz as well. So how can Rashi say that I fulfill my mitzvah by dealing with balye rav, balye matzeh, by doing bedikat chametz, where we find clearly in the Gemara and Dafav that I don't? Umidoraita bevitul ba'al masagi. And it's clear from the sugya over there that in actual fact, midoraita, if I do bitul chametz, then that's absolutely fine. I fulfilled my requirements, and so long as I did bitul chametz, I said kol chamira chamia de'ika bishuti, etc., then even if I don't do bidikat chametz, I've still fulfilled my obligation. So how can Rashi say that I need to do bidikat chametz because of balye ra'eh and balye matzeh? So, am I hitzrichu chachamim bidikat klal? What's the point of having the bidika if I've got to do the bittul? So it seems to the Ri, even though it's true that bitul chametz by itself should be enough, chachamim still said, you know, it's a sensible thing, and we're going to mandate this, that you should do bedikat chametz and bi'ur chametz, shelo yavo le'ochlo, so that you don't accidentally come to eat the chametz. V'chein mashma lekaman. That's the implication of the Gemara further on Daf Yud Amud Bet, by Rava Kika Bishmei Korah, where we've got the question about, you know, there's a bread roll got stuck up in the rafters of your house. Some reason, I don't know, you were getting too excited at your Purim Suda, and you threw your hands up in glee, and a hamantashen went and lodged itself in the rafters of your house. So you're not going to clamber up there on Pesach and eat it, but we're worried that Dulma Zimim Dunafel Va'ati Nemichle, it might fall down in the middle of your Seder, all of a sudden somebody will sing Dayenu too loud, and the sound waves will rattle the rafters, and out comes tumbling a hamantashen left over from Purim. So the point is, we've got two issues here. We've got multiple issues. One issue is an issue of balye ra, balye matzeh, that I mustn't own any chametz on Pesach. The other is that I mustn't eat any chametz on Pesach. So in terms of the concern that I shouldn't own any chametz on Pesach, it's enough to do bittul. I can just stand on Erev Pesach and make the declaration, kol chamira v'chamia. The chametz is no longer mine, and I've ticked my boxes. But, bearing in mind there could be chametz all over the place, and if I see it on Pesach, I might come to eat it. Therefore, Chazal said, in addition to bitul chametz, which is d'oraita, you also need to do a bedikat chametz, which is d'rabanan. That's what Tosfot's saying. So that's how Tosfot explains it. That the bedikah is a requirement midrabanan, nothing to do with balye ra'ah balye matzeh, which is what Rashi says, but rather to do with the issur of eating chametz, so that you shouldn't come to eat chametz on Pesach. Now Tosfot asks another question and says, hold on a minute. You're saying I need to do bedikat chametz to make sure that I don't eat chametz on Pesach. Well, there are lots of things which are osser, and we don't say that I have to go and do a bedikah to make sure that I don't eat those things. Big Macs are osser. I'm not allowed to eat a Big Mac. Nobody says I have to go once a month and check round my house to make sure there are no Big Macs around my house. So why have we got this mitzvah of bedikat chametz to remove any offending items for Pesach, when we don't have such a requirement for any other Issa. So look in the Tosfot. So the reason why we're more strict here than we are with other things which you're not allowed to benefit from, that we never said that you have to destroy them, because chametz is different. Chametz the whole year round, you can eat it. And it's only prohibited on Pesach. And people don't keep away from it. The Gemara says further on, meaning that if I see a Big Mac in my house, I'm not going to eat it because I know I can't eat Big Macs. I'm not going to even eat it by mistake. But if on Pesach I see a Twix bar or a pretzel or a cracker or whatever it is, then without thinking, I'll just pick it up and eat it, because that's what I do the whole year round. And therefore, we have to get rid of it. It's different to meat and milk, which are mixed together, or orla, or kilai hakerem, all these things, where they're always prohibited. And in terms of, you know, Nazir doesn't have to get rid of all the wine from his house because other people can drink the wine. So that's answer number one in Tosfot. But basically we're more worried with chametz that you might come to eat it than we are with other things. Inami, the other reason might be why we're stricter with chametz, is Shani Chametz Shechmira Torah La'avor B'Valyera V'Valyei Matzeh, seeing as we can see that the Torah was stricter about chametz. It didn't just say you can't eat it, but you can't own it either. Hechmir Chachamim Rivdoch L'Varo. So Chachamim say that you have to be machmir and you have to check for it and destroy it. Afilu Hecha De Bitzlo, even in a case where you've been mvatel it already, Mishum Dilma Ati L'Michle. It's because we're worried that you might come to eat it. And the run on the Rif adds in the considerations also. There's an Issur Karet for eating chametz. There's not an Issur Karet for eating other things which are prohibited, and therefore we don't say you've got to do a bedika. So to summarize these two positions thus far, we've got Rashi who says that bedikat chametz is to do with the Doraita prohibition of balyei ra'u balyei matzeh, and that's why you do bedikat chametz. And Tosfot says no, it's a requirement midrabanan not to do with balyei ra'u balyei matzeh, but to do with the isur achila. So they're approaching it both in terms of the impetus or the status of the mitzvah, whether it's Doraita or Darabanan. We've got a machloket, and also what's generating this mitzvah, whether it's balyei ra'u balyei matzeh or whether it's the isur achila. Okay. Yes. That's most of these things would apply on Yom Kippur. Right. Okay, so Balyei Matzeh doesn't apply, but very good question. So these don't apply for Yom Kippur. Tzarichion, it's a good question, though interestingly, I mean, well, it could be that the answer of the Nazir could be the answer in terms of a katan is allowed to eat. The katan and the chole are allowed to eat chametz, which isn't the case really on with Pesach. But the achronim do say that on Yom Kippur, one should try not to touch the food because of this reason, lo bedilei minei, that the whole year round you touch food and you eat it, so you need to be particularly careful on Yom Kippur. So it might be we've got a pun of that, but it's a good observation that you're raising. Shkoyach. Okay, let's look at our Daf Makorot and look at a couple of other points. So we'll just start off with the Rambam, who says, "Mai hashpata zuha morat batorah," because we've got a mix of tashbitu, of destroying the chametz. "Hu sheivatele chametz mlibo v'yachshov oto ke'afar." The assembly bosh in bishuto chametz klal shekol chametz bishuto hareka afar chudavar shein bot sarech klal. So the Rambam says that the way you fulfill the mitzvah of tashbitu, of getting rid of any chametz, is by bittul. And again, it could be a shir in its own right, how to understand the bittul and, you know, what exactly the Rambam is saying, you know, these various requirements, haroka afach, davar shein bot torah klal, again, perhaps for another time. Umidivrei sofrim lechapes achar chametz b'machbo'ot uvachorim v'livdoch ulhotzio mikol gvulo. So it's midivrei sofrim that you have to do bedikat chametz. Midoraita, you have to do that. You have to do bittul, and then midizrei sofrim, you've got to do the bedika. He doesn't actually say what the reason is for doing the bedika, so he hasn't spelt it out as Tosfot did in terms of saying that it so you shouldn't come to eat it. And we'll see there's some other possibilities as well. So let's look, though, very importantly, at a run on the Rif, right at the beginning of the Masechta, who kind of tries to square Rashi and Tosfot, or really answer Tosfot's question on Rashi. So if you look at the run on the Rif, right at the beginning, Bod kinet hachametz, Peirish Rashi Zal. So he's quoting Rashi, Kadei shelo yavo b'valye ra'u valye matzeh, so that you don't transgress the prohibition of owning chametz. V'hikshu b'tosfot. So we've got the question of the Tosfot. The ha'kai melanta midoraita b'vitul ba'al masagi. We've established that bitul alone is enough. K'di'ita b'gmara v'sof sof lo sagi b'lo bitul. K'damrinam b'gmara ha'bodek tzarech she'yvatel. And the bitul is non-negotiable. Okay, you have to do the bitul. So why have we got this bedika? If you have to do the bittul, why do you have to do the bedika as well? The kevan shekein hu heichi atya bedika kadei shelo yavor alav v'valye ra v'valye matzeh. How can Rashi say that doing the bedika stops me transgressing v'valye ra v'valye matzeh? Halo patan nashe b'lo bittul. You haven't achieved anything without bittul. B'vittul l'chudei sagi, and we say that bittul by itself is enough. Bittul seems from the Gemara to be enough, so why? What's the point of this bedika? V'yesh lomar. So the answer of the Ran is midoraita b'chad minayu sagi. In actual fact, midoraita, either one of them is good enough. Kulomar or bivdika or bevitol. You can use either bedika or bittul. Either one is good enough. L'chuda nami mahanya. Either just one of them is good enough, because Aminan ala bigmara, and we know that even bedika is good enough. We know that from the Gemara, because it says Lor Hane Minalan. This is on Daf Zayin. How do we know that you need to use Or Haner? Tina le mikrai, and we learn it out from Psukim. Alma divdika nami midoraitahe. If we're learning out from Psukim that it needs to be with a ner, then obviously the mitzvah is doraita. So other Rishonim and Acharonim disagree with this. They say that no, the Pesukim Maras Machta Baalma. But this is at least what the Ran is saying. V'chol shebadak min haTorah, einot tzarek levatel. And if you've done bedika, then you don't need to do bittul. Hilkach shapirik lemeima divdika ati kadei shelo yavor alav v'valye ra'ah. So now we can say that, yeah, Rashi's right. When Rashi says that you use the bedika for balye ra'e, that means that's good enough. That works. Shema shitzrichu chachamim bitul achar habedika eino ele midivrehem. Because this requirement of bitul, the requirement of bitul isn't that has to be how you do it min haTorah. It's just that chachamim said you also have to do it. But that's midurabanan. Shema yimtza gluske yefifia v'date ilave. Because we're worried that perhaps you'll find a nice bun on Pesach, and you'll take a liking to it, and you'll want to eat it, and you'll acquire it, and you'll want to eat it. So therefore, Chachamim said you need to do both, but really one or the other is good enough. So this is what the Ran is saying. So where Rashi says that Badika is because of Balye Matzeh, what he means is on a Doraita level is because of Balye Balye Matzeh, and on a Drabanan level you also need to do the Bittul. There is some discussion again amongst other Rishonim about how to tie everything together. Perhaps one is for Chametz Yadua and one is for Chametz She'eno Yadua. Perhaps the Bedika is for the Chametz that you know about, whereas the Bittul is for the Chametz that you don't find. So you look round for the Chametz that that you can easily find. That's the Bedika. And then for the Chametz that you didn't manage to find, maybe you need to do the Bittul. And there again, the question whether that is Doraita or Drabanan. There's an interesting observation though of the Sfat Emet, which we should look at. If we look in the Sfat Emet, so he says, "Lachein nira likat sat perish Rashi zal tgemod chayshin on shimsad gluska yefifya v'yechas aleha." So, as Rashi said, the concern, or we've got a concern that you might find this gluska yefifya, this nice bun. The dat Rashi zal lekaman kemochein yesh lomar to afshe bitlo belibo. So, even though you've done bitl, mikol makom yesh lachush sheyechas aleha acharkach. We're worried that maybe when you find it, you'll think, "Ooh, this is very nice." V'yechazara lebitul harishon, and now you're going to undo your original bitul. Umachshava v'dibur motzimide machshava v'dibur, and basically, if you can think that something's batel, you can think that it's not batel. Meaning, how did I? You know, I had this lovely hamantashen left over from Purim, right? I got rid of it by being mevatel it. Kol chamira v'chamira, I got rid of it. So it's not mine. Done it. I said that wholeheartedly. I really meant it. But then on Pesach, I see it. It's like, ooh, that looks delicious. And, you know, even if I'm not going to eat it on Pesach, but I'm going to eat it afterwards, I've got in my right, I'm keeping this for after Pesach. Motzi Pesach, after we made Havdalah, we've got Hamantashen before anybody can get down to Sainsbury's. Right? It's so therefore I've undone my bittul, right? But in the same way that I did bittul in my mind, I've undone bittul in my mind. So he says, "Lachachit shrichu bedika," and that's why we need to do the bedika. Umimela moel ha bittul sheloyu el hamachshavashu chasalav yot chazarami bittul. Harishon, kevan debito harishon hayamach shavtoni keret mitoch maasav shahari badak kol hanimtsa kanal avar b'li b'dika yesh lomar kanal tuchse yimtsa v'yachus alav yitpatel bitul harishon. So he's saying that the bitul by itself is just something in the mind, and therefore you can undo it the same way, just in the mind. However, if you do what we might call an enhanced bittul, i.e. it's something which is machshava and maaseh, it's in the mind, but it's also an action or an activity, so then it can't be undone without a thought and an activity. So therefore, when I find that hamantashen on Pesach, if I pick it up and make a kinyan on it, then of course it's going to be a problem. But if I don't, if I just think, "Oh goodness, that looks nice, I want to eat that on Motzei Pesach," so then I haven't acquired it, because a weak acquisition can't undo a strong divestment. I divested myself of it through bittul and bedika, and therefore it won't become mine in any other way, unless I do a regular kinyan on it. But if I only got rid of it through machshava, Machshava and Dibur, so I can reacquire it through Machshava and Dibur as well. So the reason why we've got the, why we need to have the Bedika is to enhance the Bittul. So this is, the Sfat Emet is kind of building on what the Tosfot was saying, that the Bedika is a requirement mid Rabbanan, but for a very different reason. Not for a separate issa that you might come to eat it, but to enhance the bedika, the bittul, which is there as part of balyera balyematze. So that's a very interesting notion there in the Sfat Emet. And it should also be noted that there are some rishonim who point out that bedika perhaps is a form of bittul, in terms of wherever you actively do something, that could be a better way of just superficially doing it. Meaning, what would be a parallel example? So a parallel example is before a person goes to mikveh, they have to do bedika. They have to make sure that they haven't got any chatzitza, right? So, you know, whether it's a man who's going to mikveh because he's a zav, he's become tamei, or it's a woman going to mikveh as a nida, they have to check for any chatzitza. Right? They have to check their hair for any chatzitza. Now, there are two ways. You could check through every strand, or you could do what we call chafifa. You could give your hair a good wash and a good comb, and then you know there's no tangling there. In terms of, it's not necessarily a separate din that you have to do bedika and you have to do chafifa, but chafifa gets rid of the need for bedika because it's so much better. You need to check the undersoles or between your toes. Okay, before you go to the mikveh, you need to check between your toes. There's nothing there. Well, if I soap up my hands and clean between my toes really thoroughly, I don't need to check them again. I don't need to look because I've done something that, you know, nothing can be left there. So that's a better form of bedika. The same is true here, that bedika is perhaps a better form of bittul. At what time do you want to say Shabbat? I think another 10 minutes. So let's go through a bit of the Gemara and then just pick up on one further practical notion at the end. So back to the Gemara. Meitive. So Akasha was asked. This is Akasha supporting the suggestion that the term or refers to the morning. So we've got a pasuk with Ache Yosef, which says Haboker or Panashim Shulchu. So I would translate that. It was light in the morning, and the men were sent off. Alma or Yamamahu. So that would imply that or is a reference to daytime. How does it imply that or is a reference to daytime? Because it says Haboker or is in the morning. So we reject that. We say Mikativ Haor Boker. Does it say that the morning was Haor Boker, that the light was morning, in which case that would suggest as what we've just said. Rather, it says Haboker or Kativ. It's the Boker was or. Commander Amar, Safra Nahar. It's like a person who says, okay, it's the morning and now it's gotten bright. It's morning time and now it's bright. Uchdrav Yehuda Amar Rav. And this will fit in with a side teaching of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay, we need to be able to say it's Haboke or that it's light now. It's morning and now it's light. Because Da'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Lo'olam Yikanes Adam Bechitov, V'yetze Bechitov. A person should always come in to town when it's Kitov and go out when it's Kitov. Now, what do we mean, come in and go out when it's Kitov? Vayaret Haor Kitov. Kitov is a reference to or, to when it's light. So look at Rashi. Rashi says Bechitov, Hayotze La Derech, a person who goes on a journey, Yikanes Arvit Levet Malon, Ba'od HaChamaz Orachat, should come in at night to his hostel whilst the sun's still shining, And the next morning, wait till Netzach Hama, the Yotzei, and then he can go over Yotzei, then he can go out. Baz Tovlo, then it will be good for him. Sha'or Tovlo, because the light is good. Shenema Ba'or Ki Tov. Mahi Tov Ato, what's the goodness of the light? Mipnei Achayot, Mipnei Halistim, because of wild animals and robbers. So you're safer in the day than you are at night. So you should go out in the day rather than going out at night. If you look in the Tosfot, so Tosfot, Dibbo HaMatzvil Yikanes, Bechitov, says, Omeri, the Befarech HaKones Mashma, the Tam Havi Mishum Mezikin. Okay, there's a concern of Mezikin, of evil spirits that might hurt one when one's out of town alone at night. And then at the end, he brings, I think this is the name of Rashi, Yeshomrim, Patam Ipnei HaPachatim, because you've got all sorts of holes and things in the road, and you know, just at night, you might fall down potholes and things like that, and therefore you should wait till it's light. So this is touched on a little bit by the Achronim. I mean, we don't seem to worry about this nowadays. You know, people travel from city to city, you know, get home at night, don't seem to worry about it. So it might depend on what the reason is. If it's because of Hachayot and Halistim, so, you know, if you're going in a well-settled place, then you don't need to worry about it at night. If it's because of Mezikin, then maybe if there are other people around, you don't need to worry about it. If it's because of Pachatim, well, it might be that you know the territory and you don't need to worry so much. But it's certainly discussed a bit by the Achronim. Let's go on just a little bit further. We've got several different riots here, all of which are going to be rejected. Meitive. So let's ask another question. We've got a pasuk in Shmuel Bet. Uchor boke yizrach shamesh. So the sun will shine in the morning like the light of, or the sun will shine like the light of the morning. Alma or yamamahu. So that would also seem to indicate that or refers to the day, because or boke. So we say mikativ or boke, but it doesn't say or boke. Ucha or boke kativ, it's like the light of the morning. It doesn't say that or is boke. It says there's light in the morning. Vahachi ka'amar, and this is what it's saying. Or boke b'olam hazeh, the light in the morning in this world, ke'ein zrichat shemesh l'tzadikim l'olam haba. That's what Zrichat HaShemesh will be like for the tzaddikim in the world to come. So it's just saying that, for us at Alot HaShachar, it's still pretty dark, but for the tzaddikim in the world to come, Alot HaShachar will be as bright as it is for us at sunrise. So Meitive, another question, Vayikra Elohim La'or Yom. So, okay, from Parshat Bereishit, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Or Yom. So, presumably, Or, Alma Or Yamamahu. So we say, no, Hachi Ka'ama, Lemeir Uva Kra Or Yom. So, as it's getting lighter, the time of day which is gets lighter is called day. Ela Hacha, Ela Me'ata, if that's the case, V'lachoshech Kara Laila, so the night, the darkness is called nighttime. L'machshichu v'akara laila. You want to say, as it's getting darker, it's called nighttime. V'akaimelan dat seita kochavim yamamahu. But we know that until seita kochavim, it's still daytime. Elahachi ka'amar. So what it's saying is, kariye rachmana l'nahara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to the light. Upakdeya mitzvata di yamama. And charged it with the mitzvah of the day. The Kari Rachman el Chashocha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the darkness who packed down mitzvata delilah, and charged it with the mitzvot of the night. Okay, so there's more to go in that sugya. We won't finish that off now. I just want to finish by bringing to your attention a Ritva. A Rivet. The Rivet on the page of the Rif wonders why we've got this term or? Why doesn't it say, why doesn't it use the Lashon of or l'arba asar? Why doesn't it use a much more straightforward Lashon of Laila? So various suggestions are made as to, you know, perhaps we want to start off a Masechet with the word or, which is better to start off than Laila. Laila in darkness, we don't want that. But he says, no, there are other cases where it says or, and that's, you know, in the middle of a Masechet. So he says that this is the din of B'dikat Chametz, is that Chazal were koveya it b'tchilat halayla. So therefore, when one does B'dikat Chametz, one does it at the beginning of the night. Kagon B'dikat Chametz u'masim masuot, tane or, mipnei sha'adayin yesh sham or hayom v'eino choshech. It's still night time, you've still got Tzeitak Kochavim, but it can still be a bit light out. You know, we find that particularly in the summer. You know, you come home from Shul Motzei Shabbat, you know, it's the Zman. You know, there's three stars, but it's still a bit light out. So it's or, it's not really, it's not Choshech Legamre. Kediktiv La Choshech Kara Laila. So therefore, it used the term or rather than Laila, because Laila would apply that it's pitch black, whereas or applies that it's not yet pitch black. So according to this Ravid, the notion of, you know, doing B'dikat Chametz as soon as it gets dark on the 14th of Nisan isn't just a matter of Zrizin Matkdimin, that you always try to do a mitzvah as soon as possible. It's actually, that's the way Chazal were attacking it, to do it exactly at that point. And if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, so he quotes the Ravid, and he says, V'haynu b'tchilat halayla, v'lo ben hashmashot. You shouldn't do it during ben hashmashot. Yeshomim dizman b'dika hu kodem seita kochavim. But the Bach and the Magin Avraham do actually say you should start before Tzeitak Kochavim because of this Ravid, because of this Or. Vayikar Kedei Arishona. But that's not the way we pasken. Shulachem b'tchilat leil arba asar b'nisan bodkin et chametz lo haner, etc., etc. Okay, so for those who are learning the Daf Yomi, hatzlacha rabba, and for those who are not, it's still, you know, nice to go in tandem or alongside those who are. And Be'ezrat Hashem, the coming weeks, we'll also have Shiurim on Masechet Pesachim. And by the time Pesach comes round, we'll be on top of many of the sukkahs. So thank you so much for joining me, and have a wonderful week, everybody.